This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for today, or for this session, is a message that was recorded, or rather published, back in October of the year 2014. It's being put on audio in the month of March of the year 2024, which is a little over 9 years ago. And the reason why I give you the dates is because in certain instances I might make reference to certain people, places, things, or events that took place back at the time that this message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. However, let me say this. When it comes to the Word of God, it is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. That means 6,000 years ago, today, and if the Lord tarries, 6,000 years from now, His Word would still be relevant. And those of you that are listening to it or being exposed to it, whether by reading it or listening to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives according to it. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter number 5. I'm only going to read one verse here, and that's verse number 16. And as I said, this is for October of the year 2014. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The title for this message is Vote Biblically. Vote Biblically. A few weeks ago, I was in a Bible bookstore and saw something that really caught my attention. It was a sign, much like those signs that people put in the front yards of their houses and things during the election season, urging people to vote for certain candidates or other things that may be on the ballots in their community. However, the main reason for a person or persons putting these signs in their yards was a way to declare what the individual or individuals in that particular house stood for. After all, why put a sign in front of your house if you did not support what the sign was promoting? Anyway, this particular sign had only two words on it, and those words were simple and to the point. They were, "Vote Biblically." Now, unlike most campaign signs, this sign was not promoting any particular candidate or other action that campaigns are usually known for, but rather a mindset that is directed to one particular group of individuals to tell them what they needed to be considering every time they are asked to vote for anything. The words are saying that they, when voting, should be thinking along the lines of, what does God have to say about this individual's agenda or particular proposal stands for? And in this nation, that declaration is only directed to one group of people, and that is Christians. Now, what is the significance of calling on those that name the name of Christ to vote like this? Well, if you will look at the subject verse or pay attention to it, you will see a clue to what this message is about. We are told by the Apostle Paul that those of us that say Christ, that Jesus Christ is our Lord, should pursue those things that align not with what is pleasing to the flesh, but what is pleasing to God or Jesus Christ. You see, when people go to the polls to vote, they usually vote for people or proposals that they feel will be beneficial to themselves. This is called walking after the flesh, also known as being carnally minded. The idea that a person would support someone or thing that in their minds would be detrimental to them is absolutely ludicrous. It is something that is not done, not if you have any lick of sense. Well, those of us that name the name of Christ are supposed to be the ones that, to the common or carnally minded people, are the ones that don't have any sense. As the Bible puts it, we are, according to Titus chapter number 2, verse number 14, a peculiar people. When you consider the definition of peculiar, you think about something or someone that is not quite normal. In the case of a person, they don't act or think like everyone else. It is as if they have a screw loose or something. They march to the beat of a different drum. Normal is what the majority decides it to be. And clearly, that would be a legitimate point in a democracy. And what is normal is the first rule of nature, and that is survival. Well, seeing that those who we vote for represent what we think is supporting that rule of our survival in our lives, we support them so that they can support our survival. This is talking about in the flesh now. However, when it comes to Christians, we are to maintain that mindset of survival, but realize that our survival is tied not to man and what he can do for us, but what Christ says. After all, it is through him that all of us, Christian or not, are able to exist. With that in mind, if we had a vote as to who we should support for our survival, then Christ would be the one any normal person would vote for. The problem is, today, what is considered normal is the fact that man and him only is responsible for his own survival. There is absolutely no room for God or Christ. Everywhere you turn, you hear that constant reminder of there is a separation of church and state. This supposedly means that the state will stay out of the church's affairs and that the church should stay out of government affairs. And it is this mindset that a majority of Christians have adopted as being the right way to live our lives. To them, we need to keep the two separate because, in their minds, it is more beneficial to the nation. So, if that is the case, why is it that this nation is slowly deteriorating in every single aspect of what made this nation great? It is because if you choose to follow after the flesh, God has no choice but to let you do it to your own destruction. God is not going to support you and your mess when first you have been warned and two, you rejected that warning. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. As you can see, the condition of a nation is directly tied to who is in the position of authority. When you have God-fearing people in the seat of authority, then they, on making and enforcing laws, will do so by seeking God's wisdom to come up with a result that, get this, is the best for everyone. That's when you have God-fearing people in authority. This is because if God backs what they do, everyone will see and experience a positive result. Even the ungodly will see it as well. On the other hand, if the ungodly attain the seat of power, they will seek to enact laws that will serve them and a chosen few, while at the same time wreaking havoc on everyone else. The end result is everyone ends up suffering. Most of these Christians especially in my or the black community, throw their support behind the latter for no other reason than they support the person or legislation because it benefits them in the flesh. They don't care that these same people and most of their legislation, while it appears to make things better for them, actually is setting them up for their own destruction. Not only that, but it also is designed to attack the very one that they claim to love and worship, talking about Jesus Christ. It is no secret that you can't go against God and expect to come out on top in the long run, because God will see to it that you don't. Sometimes, if a person or group is dogmatic enough, God will send them what they see as evidence that the way they have chosen will lead to its success. As one scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 verses 11 and 12. It says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This scripture reveals a little known truth about what God will and will not do. It seems almost totally out of character for God, as most of us know him or think we know him, to actually do something that will cause a person to be misled and end up being damned. Yet, here it is, in black and white. What this is saying is that when people are so set in their ways and beliefs that they absolutely refuse to consider what God says, He, God, will produce actual evidence or proof that appears to support their beliefs, while all the time leading them further from Him. A good example of this is the theory of evolution. Since its inception, man has pursued all sorts of evidence to prove that man is the product of evolution and not by divine design. As a result, God has provided them with all sorts of evidence that seems to prove that what they are believing is the truth. And the more evidence He provides, the more they will embrace it, talking about evolution, so much so that they will totally reject anything that suggests anything different. The thing is, while this is something that you would think applies to those that are outside the Christian lifestyle, many Christians either directly or indirectly support it as well. If that were not the case, then why would so many of them go out and support the very people that promote that way of thinking. They do it because it appeals to their flesh. Everything that one particular party that they support does is appeal to the flesh or to human nature. Anytime a candidate or party relies on using fear, lies, and playing on their emotions to get people to support them, you know that they are playing to the basic survival instincts of man. If they can make people believe that voting for anyone but them will cause them to suffer or miss out on something that they want or need, then that is playing to the flesh. Christians, on the other hand, should be comparing what God says and the evidence of the actual truth of His Word, and that flies in the face of what the flesh wants. Thus, you have the national push for keeping God and state separate. The church should be setting the example of how to make choices as to who should have our backing, talking about the church's backing or the Christians' backing. But what has happened is that the ungodly has set the example for the church to follow. The fact that most have a problem with me talking about this issue shows just how far away from actually living the life and making choices based on the principles that are put forth in the Bible they really are. In talking to a dear sister in Christ some time back, now I was talking about earlier, I mentioned about the times, the time that I was wrote this message back in 2014. I was talking with this sister back then, but I can use choices today where I've been talking to people in this life today. This is what I'm adding in. It's not on the track, which basically goes along this same line of thinking. Now, getting back to the message, in talking to a dear sister in Christ some time back, when I mentioned that her support of the Democratic Party is a total contradiction to her profession of being a follower of Christ, her response was, "Don't go there." What she was saying is, she didn't want to hear it. That, unfortunately, is the mindset of far too many Christians today. And as a result, this nation is suffering. They tend to think that we can have the best of both worlds, both in the flesh and spiritual. And that is not the way things go. It is either one or the other. When you try to have things both ways, as most Christians should know, Christ looks on this as being the same as rejecting Him. He mentioned this type of mindset in Revelations chapter number 3, verses 14 through 19. When addressing the church in Laodicea, this was a church that was carnally minded. They were more concerned with their wealth, prosperity, and power. What you Christians need to know is this. While you hold to the idea of separation of church, talking about Christ, and state, God does not. So, why are you going against him? As I mentioned in a message that I had published right before this, you are a traitor to your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Because ultimately, as we, your brothers and sisters in Christ, battle to tear down what the enemy is doing in this nation, you are fighting against us to keep things going the way that you think they should, or that the way that they are going. In other words, we're trying to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. You're fighting to build them up and reinforce them. Then when things start falling apart around you, you cry out to God and he won't hear you because you only want relief so that you can continue in your devilish, and that's what they really are, devilish ways. Think I'm being too strong? Think about this. Why do you bemoan and grieve over your children being killed in the streets by violence, drugs, accidents, suicide, and other things when you throw your support behind the wholesale slaughter of millions of babies, God's most beautiful treasure and the truly innocent, by way of abortion, just so you can save your social and economic status in society? Does this sound familiar? Matthew chapter number 10 verses 38 and 39 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life or pursues life in the flesh shall lose it. But he that loseth his life," talking about life in the flesh to follow after a spiritual life, "shall find it. For my sake shall find it." This was Jesus speaking. God's word is proving what you are doing to be futile, in that what you are trying to save and maintain is being destroyed. Because it is not man that is doing it, but him, talking about God. But you don't want to accept that, because to do so means you are doing something God is not pleased with and you don't want to change. So you go out and vote for the people that are telling you it's not your fault. It's the other party, the rich, the corporations, the conservatives, and even the Christian right that are the cause of your problems. Let me take this to the obvious conclusion. After they get rid of the other party and its supporters, then what are you going to do then when they start telling you to bow down to them? What are you going to do when laws are passed for forbidding you for mentioning anything about Christ? I'm talking to you Christians out there. Read the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys when these same parameters were put to them. Go to Daniel chapter number 3 and read verses 1 through 6. And then Daniel chapter number 6 and read verse number 7. And you see that it shows what the enemies of God want to do. They either want to make you do something or keep you from doing something concerning Christ. These four refused to go along with it, and God gave them the victory. Contrast that with today when Christians are falling in line with these same laws that are put in place by people that they support. In order to stop this nonsense, all of you need to vote biblically. Well, that is the end of this message. And I hope that you have gotten the point here, because like I said, this is 2024 and we still have Christians today. In fact, the numbers are even growing that are falling in line behind this one particular political party that is well known, is documented, let the record show. If you go check their agenda and what they stand for, what their core beliefs are, they are totally carnally minded and against God, against Christ. And yet and still, Christians all over the nation, but especially in the black community, are falling in line because this party tends to play, if you will, on the the mindset or hysteria in the black community about racism and how it's systemic racism is what they call it now, but it all boils down to the same thing: blacks being afraid that whites have been keeping them poor and illiterate and things like that, and that the white man doesn't have anything good for the black community, talking about the white man on the conservative side. Now, when it comes to the white man on the liberal side, that's your buddy, that's your pal, see. But I don't know how many of y'all know, we have a month where in February was known as Black History Month, where they want to espouse the idea of everybody needs to get out and learn black history. I suggest that we need to have a month where people need to get out and be called Democrat history, where people look back into the into the background of the Democratic Party and where it came from, where it is today, and the tactics that they use. There's a manifest of tactics that they use, which is outlined in a book called Had, Hoodwinked, and Bamboozled: How Willie Lynch is Running Wild in the Democratic Party. And the subtitle is, "And He Has the Black Community Just Right Where He Wants Them." It goes into detail about this foundational message or doctrine that Willie Lynch gave to the slave owners back then to help keep the slaves basically from running away from the plantation, where the owners would have to send people out to recapture them and sometimes lynch them, all because of the fact that this slave owner from the West Indies back in 1712 was telling them they were wasting money by doing something like that, when all they needed to do was put the fear of what he said, more or less like the fear of God in them, where they would be so afraid of being done or punished the way that he had said that needed to be done to a couple of slaves to set the example. The black community is following after this same particular party by basically, of the entire black community, over 90 some percent support this particular party, and they're doing it because of the foundation that was set by this man named Willie Lynch. You can find a free copy of this book on this ministry's website, www.wordofgodministry.net. That's one, well, Word of God Ministry is one word, .net. When you get to the home page, look over on the right side and go down near the bottom of the page, and you'll see free book offers, and you'll see the title of this particular book, which gives you a point by point picture of how this man's, Willie Lynch's, doctrine has been instituted into the Democratic Party. And you know, that's something to think about. You got people that were supposedly set free from slavery by Republicans, no doubt. It ain't no doubt. That's the way it was. Republicans set black folks free. That's what the Civil War was about. And then here we are, nearly 300 some odd years later, 400 so years later, and right back, and most of us are right back under the same slavery, even though it's taken on a different form, but it's still slavery than that we were back before we were delivered from slavery. We're back under the control of the exact same people that we were delivered from. And then we gonna go around and talk about how free we are and have a holiday called Juneteenth, which is supposed to have been the day that the last slaves were set free. You ain't set free if you still in bondage to these people, to so much so that you even turn against God to support this particular party. You need to know history the way that it is and not the way that people are trying to tell you that it is. Well, anyway, this is Evangelist George McTyre. And closing out this message, as I always say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.